Good morning to everybody this morning. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you once again from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport. I want to thank you for joining us in this Bible prophecy series that we've been teaching for some months now. I believe this is probably the 23rd sermon in this particular series and probably the 13th on the subject of the Gentile nations and how God will draw their armies into the Middle East for their destruction. I would like to open us up with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for the gift of salvation. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to go to hell. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son to the cross to die for our sins, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for that which we have to look forward to, and that's an eternal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, that I got a whole lot more than just fire insurance. I thank you that I got an eternal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you and praise you, Lord, for that great gift, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the just because you're God, Lord. I thank you for your goodness and mercy and kindness to us, Lord, and for your protecting hand that rests upon us. And I pray to you now, Lord, that you'll bless this time of preaching and teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Every once in a while, I like to make an appeal to the, we've been kind of focused on Bible prophecy here, but I'd like to make an appeal to individuals out there that may be listening to this program that could possibly be lost. I can tell you this, you can know everything that there is to know about Bible prophecy, have a complete head knowledge about Bible prophecy, and be able to explain many events that are forecast to go into the future by going into the King James Bible and doing that. But even knowing all of that, if you do not know the author of the Bible prophecy, then you have nothing to look forward to but an eternity in hell. It's not whether or not you have a head knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but do you have him in your heart? Do you know for a fact today that if you were to die, that you would not burn in hell for an eternity? Does the Lord Jesus Christ know you? If he does not know you, then all you have is a false profession, and you need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation. If you do not, you could die today, and if you were to die in your sin today, you would spend an eternity in hell. We get back into our topic here in Ezekiel chapter last week we were dealing with the nations that were actually identified in Ezekiel chapter 38, and we took those nations and we plugged them on to a modern day map for you, and we noted that the nations that are involved that are to the north of the nation of Israel that the prophecy in Ezekiel 38 is talking about are mostly focused upon Turkey and also the Azerbaijan, the Republic of Georgia, and also on, if you look, we also saw Persia was involved in that, and that's modern-day Iran, and then we identified also Libya and Ethiopia, which are countries that are located on the northern shores of Africa, and all of these folks are enemies of the nation of Israel, and we also identified the fact that the common thread that run through these countries that are identified in Ezekiel chapter 38, their common thread is Islam. Islam is a religion that hates the Jew and they seek the destruction of the nation of Israel. In fact, they hate Bible-believing Christians also, and they are the biggest persecutors in the world today. They are the biggest murderers in the world today. They have their God is Satan himself, is who he is. And Muhammad is nothing more than a child-molesting prophet of the devil. That's all he is. But they actively seek the destruction of especially Jews and Christians, and then it's anybody else that's not like them. They are not a religion of peace. And if you listen to our political leaders and you believe what they say, then you are deceived. Let's go back and pick up where we left off at last week, Ezekiel 39, verses 1 through 29. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee. And I will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beast of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall set on fire, and burn the weapons, both the shields, and the bucklers, the bows, and the arrows, and the hand staves, and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. So that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest. For they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of passengers. And there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the Valley of Haman Gog. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be in burying them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them. And it shall be to them a renown the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. And they shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land, to bury with passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months, they shall search. And the passengers that pass through the land, when any seeth a man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it to the buriers, until the buriers have buried it in the valley of Haman Gog. And also the name of the city shall be Hamona. Thus shall they cleanse the land. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and come, gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, of bullocks, and all of them fatlings of Bashan. And you shall eat fat till you be full and drink blood till you be drunken of my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you. Thus shall you be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity. Because they trespassed against me, therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanliness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them and hid my face from them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel and will be jealous for my holy name. After that, they have borne their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me when they dwelt safely in their land and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands and sanctified them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them excuse me, but I have gathered them into their own land and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Now, according to Ezekiel, that's quite a long passage of scripture there, 29 verses. But according to Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 16, God will bring the Islamic alliance that we talked about last week against the land of Israel, but it will not be for their victory. If you look at the verses we just finished reading in Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 2 through 6, they say that it will be a crushing defeat for them, resulting in 5 out of 6 of them dying on the mountains of Israel at the hands of the Lord God. And I want to emphasize that you do not see an army of any other nation. You don't see an Israeli army gathered here or anything else. You see that God has pulled this group of people onto the mountains of Israel for their destruction. And what we see is that there will be but 1 out of every 6, all of those, 5 out of 6, in other words, will die on the mountains of northern Israel. That can show you why they're going to have to be spending so much time burying the dead. The emphasize the destruction is strictly at the hands of God. In Ezekiel 39, verses 8 through 11, we see Israel taking 7 years to destroy and clean up the weapons of the Gog and Magog army that come into Israel. In those verses, we also see that Israel is being rewarded with the spoils from a war that they did not even fight. That's amazing, folks. They're going to get the spoils from a war they did not even fight. According to Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 11 through 16, the carnage will be so great that it will take 7 months for Israel to clean up the stench and bury the bodies of those who die at the hands of the Lord. In Ezekiel 39, verses 17 through 21, we see the gathering of the fowls of the air to a feast upon the carnage brought about by the destruction of that northern army. At the end of this great slaughter in Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 22, Israel will realize that the great slaughter came about at the hands of God. You remember the story of Gideon when God whittled the army down to 300 folks, and then he done that which he was going to do because he wanted to show those round about that it was God that accomplished the victory. It was God that gave the victory. It was not in the numbers of man, but it was in the power of God that the victory was brought forth. Now, in Ezekiel 39, verses 23 through 29, we see again the reason for Israel's captivity and her restored fellowship with God. The reason for theirs was their murder of the innocents, and by the way, America's guilty of much of that in the abortion clinics, but they used to, in Israel, they used to sacrifice their sons and daughters to the pagan gods over there, and we do no different here in America. We murder one innocent after another. Over 56 million since 1973, Roe versus Wade decision, and they were also penalized because of their idolatry. Now, according to Isaiah chapter 48, verse 11, to pollute the name of the Lord. You'll notice that he put a lot of emphasis in Ezekiel 39 on polluting his name. To pollute the name of the Lord is, if you do that, it is to give glory to another, according to Isaiah 48, verse 11. God says in Ezekiel 39, verse 7, that he will not allow his people to pollute his name anymore. If you're a Christian out there today, you ought to remember, you ought to carry about with you the fact that you're carrying the name of Christ. And most folks don't do that today. 3 different times now in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 9, Ezekiel 20, verse 14, and in Ezekiel 20, verse 22, God pronounces judgment upon Israel because they had polluted his name. God is jealous for his name, folks. You ought not carry about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ lightly because he's jealous of his name. Now, according to Exodus 34, verse 14, God's name is jealous. God's name is jealous. Six different times, God says he is a jealous God. The name Jesus means Jehovah saves or Jehovah is salvation. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the Old Testament Jehovah. And according to Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it is that name that is above every name, and that name at which every knee shall bow. That's what that name of the Lord Jesus Christ is. Let's go and read Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Philippians 2, starting in verse 8. And being found in a fashion, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Look at the emphasis on that name. The name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, verses 8 through 11, what we just read, is the glorious fulfillment of Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, which says this, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. When you claim to be a Christian and you live like a devil, you're taking the name of Christ in vain. And God will not hold you guiltless for that. And by the way, if you are a saved person, you're a Christian and you're saved, and you continue to live like the devil and you bring shame upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he can take you out of here. There is a sin unto death for the saved individual is what I'm saying. So we need to be very, very careful about the name of the Lord. He does not want us to pollute that name. Now, I want us to continue on with the Northern Alliance, and we're going to pick up some verses in Joel chapter 2 and deal with those. And we're also going to get into Revelation chapter 9. I don't know how much time I'm going to have here this morning by the time I cover some of these details. But turn in your Bibles to Joel chapter 2 and verse 1, and we're going to read all that. We've done a lot of reading here because I want you to see what the Word of God has to say about Bible prophecy. Not what I think about it, not what I say about it, but I want to see what the Bible says. Joel chapter 2, Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, and a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains, they shall leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face, the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now saith the Lord, Turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Excuse me. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army. Let me read that again. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and I will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Let's turn it now to a parallel passage to Revelation chapter 9, and read verses 1 through 12 in Revelation chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall man seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Let me read that again. And in those days shall man seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. That is what you have waiting for you if you do not get saved before the rapture takes place. You're going to be in tribulation, and that's one of the things that will be waiting for you. Verse 7 of Revelation chapter 9. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Now, what I want to do is kind of do a little comparison here between Joel chapter 2 and what we've just read out of Revelation chapter 9. Remember, we're still dealing with this northern army that we're talking about. A parallel passage is to Ezekiel 38 and 39, okay? A detailed analysis of the two passages that we just read will reveal that many parallels exist between them. Joel chapter 2 verse 20 ties the verses in Joel chapter 2 to a northern army. Don't forget that. Joel chapter 1 verse 4 and Joel chapter 2 verse 25 refer to locusts. And that ties those verses to Revelation chapter 9:3 and Revelation 9:7. And what it does is it connects those two prophecies together. Now Joel 2:2, Joel 2:10, and Joel 2:31 describe a day of great darkness, while Revelation 9:2 also shows the sun and the air darkened by reason of the smoke. Joel 2:8 is paralleled by Revelation 9:6, because in Joel chapter 2, men fall upon their swords and will not be wounded, while in Revelation chapter 9, men shall seek death and they'll not be able to find it. Both Joel chapter 2 verse 25 and Revelation 9 verse 3 describe a locust army. The tribulation is a time of supernatural disasters and phenomena. It is a time of darkness. Remember, we saw that darkness in both Joel 2 and in Revelation 9. It is a time of darkness where we see the sun darken, as in the book of Joel. Darkness covers at least parts of the earth in Revelation chapter 6 verse 12 and also in Revelation chapter 9 verse 2. The tribulation is a time of massive earthquakes, as we have seen in Joel chapter 2 verse 10. If you'll go and read Matthew chapter 24 and up at verse 7, you'll find it there. You'll see it in Mark chapter 13 verse 8. You'll see it in Luke 21 verse 11. You'll also see it in Revelation 6:12, Revelation 8:5, Revelation 11:13, Revelation 11:19, and Revelation 16:18. It is a time of massive earthquakes. And later on, we will deal with a massive earthquake that divides the Mount of Olives from up in the book of Zechariah, and we will talk about it. Now, the king over this locust army is none other than Satan himself. He is the destroyer known as Abaddon and Apollyon of Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. Satan goes forth to make war against the Lord Jesus Christ, his angels, and his saints in Revelation 6:2. Revelation 11:7, Revelation 12:7, Revelation 12:17, Revelation 13:7, Revelation 17:14, and in Revelation 19:14. So Satan is going forth to make war against God's people. In the book of Revelation, Satan is seen as the conqueror, the angel of the bottomless pit, the beast, the dragon, that old serpent, the devil, and Satan. That's just some of the titles that show up for him in the Bible. But those particular ones are in the book of Revelations. Satan's religious political agent is the Antichrist. Satan's religious agent is the false prophet. Satan has at least 30 different titles in Scripture, and a lot of them are found here in the book of Revelation. In the tribulation, Satan is the great motivator and controlling influence of all the military might that has as its goal the destruction of Israel, the Jewish people, the church, and Bible-believing Christians. Satan is also the driving influence behind the great alliance of Eastern armies that will attack Israel during the tribulation. And that's going to be the subject of our discussion next week. We're going to talk about that Eastern Alliance, and we'll get into Revelation chapter 9, Revelation 16, and also into Joel chapter 3 and some other scriptures also. I want to thank you for joining us here today. It's been a blessing to bring this particular series to you, and we will continue it next week. May the Lord bless you.